Amen. Welcome to church. Make sure you're smiling and turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, welcome to Youth Sunday. If your neighbor is not smiling, you're permitted to relocate. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to first of all thank the senior pastor for this privilege this morning. It's an honor. It's an honor to stand before you, God's people, today. And I thank our resident pastor, Pastor Foye. I also want to thank the youth for counting me able. And I pray that God that has given to me this opportunity would make it come to pass as one that would not forget easily, as one that the experience will last with us forever. Amen. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Quickly, our time is fast spent, and I'll just be running through a few things with us on the topic, maintaining your peace. Amen. Our senior pastor has led us through three very powerful scriptures. Please, can I get water? Three very powerful scriptures, very powerful topic. And last Sunday, our Deacon Abraham also led us through the portrait of peace. The first Sunday, if you remember, was what? Connecting with the peace of, with the God of peace, led by our senior pastor, Pastor Patrick. Second Sunday, thank you. Second Sunday is peace in releasing. And the third Sunday is the way of peace. And last week's Sunday was portraits of peace. And today we'll be speaking on maintaining your peace, because it's not possible that we have gone through those four Sundays and we have not had access to peace, like we have not known how to get the peace. It is now the ways of maintaining that peace that has been bestowed upon us. Hallelujah. Please excuse me. And quickly, I'm going to speak about why maintain your peace. That's the first thing we'll be discussing about. I'm saying quickly because I believe that by the time we are done with the prayer, the spirit with the sermon, the spirit of prayer will be released in the house, and would pray, would prophesy over our own life. Brother Yokunle came here today and he was saying that we are prophets over our own destiny. So I believe God is in this house, and God is not an author of confusion. God is a consistent God. Why maintain your peace? It's already 2/3 of the year has passed. You believe with me, like 2/3 of the year has passed, end of August. Today is the last day in the month of August, right? And 2/3 of the year has passed. And naturally, when 2/3 of a year has passed, anxiety starts to creep in, worry starts to creep in. You start to take stock of all that you wrote out that you wanted to achieve when you began the year. And you start to tell yourself, it's natural. You start to tell yourself, like, I'm far from what I expected. And even if you are not so far, you start to tell yourself, the ones I am still expecting, will they come through? So that is why I believe that this message is timely. The theme, peace, is timely in this month of August. And if you look around in the world today, there are many peace troublers. Sometimes some of us work in some environment that are toxic. You can't lie about that. Sometimes you have siblings who, or you come from a family or from a background who, they can't just get over the mindset of that little you they used to know. And those things sometimes tend to trouble our peace. And if you look to the news, there is always one depressing story or the other. Am I wrong? At least we know the latest, last week, a school shooting. No parents, no human, let me not say parents, will not be troubled by that news. That's a peace troubler. So there are things around that must just offset your peace. But God, our God, is a God of peace. Turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, do you remember our God is a God of peace? And just so you know, as much as Lack of peace is contagious. Like I just spoke about some environment that we work, some places that we meet some people, and because they lack peace, they try to make sure that they steal your own peace. They try to contaminate your own peace just because it is their nature. They don't have the peace, and they are bent on the fact that as long as they don't have the peace, somebody else will not enjoy peace. The same way, peace is also contagious. The other people that were in the boat, in the stormy sea, where Jesus Christ was, if Jesus Christ wasn't there, they wouldn't have enjoyed the peace, the calmness, after he rebuked the wind and said, "Peace be still." And Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 8b said, "What man is there who is fearful and faint-hearted?" This was when the prophet, the priest, was admonishing the children of Israel when they were going to war against six nations at the same time. It's natural. If you are going to some situations, it's natural for your peace to be troubled. But he said that if there is anyone that is fainting-hearted, just separate the person so that that person will not contaminate the peace of the rest. So our peace needs to be maintained. And because we cannot fulfill the promises of God, we cannot fulfill the prophecies of God without having our peace. Our peace is a feature that is required. We would run through and you'll see how our peace fits into our purpose. The next thing we are going to be talking about is assessing your peace. Bra Toby has already used the scripture, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6, when we are making declaration. "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always and by all means. The Lord be with you." So the Lord is able to give us what? Peace. Thank you. And also, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 says, "Thou will keep him in perfect," what? "Whose mind is stayed on thee," because he trusts you. So peace is an equation that can be gotten from a God-man partnership. Because if you look at this Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3, it says, "Thou will keep him." So God does the keeping in perfect peace. But who is he going to keep? Those whose mind is what? Thank you very much. So God's part is the giving, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and the what? The keeping. So he gives you and is able to also keep the peace. Meanwhile, your own part is just one, the staying. Please turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, your part is just one, the staying. And what do we stay on? Before we speak about what we stay on, we are going to be speaking about how God gives and he keeps the peace that he has promised us. God gives his peace by the Holy Spirit and by his word. Hallelujah. God gives his peace by the Holy Spirit and by his word. Jesus Christ being led to be tempted in Luke chapter 4 verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, was led into the wilderness. By who? By the Spirit. Sometimes we are in some wilderness situations and it seems like we walked into it by ourselves. But this scripture makes us understand that there are times that we are led into those stormy sea situations. There are times that we are led into those wilderness situations. It is not just by divine orchestration that you are in that stormy sea situation. Because Jesus Christ was being led to be tempted. Does it sound correct in all sense of things? How would the Spirit lead you to be tempted? By natural instinct, it's not supposed to add up. It's supposed to lead you away from temptation, right? but it's so that the name of God will be glorified. That's why the same stormy sea situation, the same wilderness experience you may be facing right now, or you may yet face, because some of us are not yet facing those situations, is for the name of God to be glorified. It's for God to show himself in your life in a dimension that you have never seen before. If you are not lacking, you will not know Jaira. If you are not sick, you will not understand the dimension of Rapha, a cancer victory person. Somebody that has just won victory over cancer will understand. Even if you are sick and maybe your own is just migraine, you will not understand a stage four cancer testimony version of Rapha. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit led Jesus Christ into that wilderness. And guess what? When the devil came to tempt, as he was supposed to, what did Jesus Christ use in combating that temptation? The word. So those are two balanced equations. It's like a pendulum, the Holy Spirit and the word, giving the balance. The Holy Spirit and the word giving the balance. And even in some cases, it might not even be that you are being led into the wilderness. You are being led into that situation that troubles your peace. Some cases might just be the devil that has taken it upon himself to raise a standard, according to Isaiah chapter 59 verse 19b, that says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. So just in case it is not the Spirit leading you right now to be tempted, or it is not the Spirit leading you right now into a situation that might seem like a peace troubler, but it is the devil orchestrating himself, just like he did when he went to meet God. But Job was just on his own, minding his business and serving God. And the devil just went, because what does he know how to do? If not to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's his only assignment, and he's very dedicated to that assignment, I can assure you. So just in case it is a situation of him showing dedication to lifting up a standard, guess what? The Spirit is also there to raise up a standard. And of course, power past power. And the balance now, that's the other the other equation, being the word, in that situation of him raising his own flood, of him steering up his own flood, is that John 16 verse 33, Jesus Christ speaking to us in the scripture, saying, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. So these are the situations when that flood is stirred up. You go back to the scripture to say, God, what is your word saying about this situation? What is your word saying about this allegation? What is your word saying about this confusion? What is your word saying about this sickness? What is your word saying about this challenge? And I tell you, the Bible is filled with promises, with prophecies, and with principles, with things that are enough to equip us to fight those floods. And we'll be getting to them. And just in case, again, it's not that kind of situation. It is a situation that God wants you to learn a thing or two. The Spirit is able to quicken, because we are humans. That's the truth. There are times that it just feels like, oh God, it seems like this stormy sea is going to consume. Like, you have looked back, you have looked front, you have looked side, you have looked everywhere. It just seems like this one, I've even given up. But what did the Bible say is in Romans chapter 8 verse 11, it says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, he didn't raise him up from the sleep. And remember how they did that is dead. Let's just cast our mind back. After he died, they still secured the tomb again for extra layer of security. I don't know if we'll call that the IT gurus, two-factor authentication, or what is that one? Just for an extra layer, so that they will not tell us that he arose. Well, how did he want to arise? We put stone, a very heavy one, that it took how many people to roll? So how will only him, one from the other inside, roll it? It can't. By natural instinct, by natural ability, it is impossible. But the Bible is reminding us now that if that same spirit, just close your eyes and just try to engage your imagination. He's dead. He's put in a tomb. The tomb is covered with a very mighty rock. And there are guards, armed guards, not just guards that are just there just to look. Armed guards to protect the tomb. If that same spirit raised him up and he came out, he didn't even have to challenge anyone. He walked out. Nobody had the power. Nobody had the audacity to challenge him. And he walked out. If that same spirit that raised him and he was able to walk out dwells in you, tap your neighbor and say, that same spirit dwells in you. Is able to quicken. So just in case you are at that point where you just know it's only a quickening that you need. It's only a quickening that is able to make you victorious. It's only a quickening that is able to make you not lose all. God is in this house for you today. And just as a form of assurance regarding his word, because the spirit is definitely there to quicken, but sometimes we just need a reminder from his word. Psalm 119 verse 50 says, my comfort in my suffering, not in someone else's suffering, my own suffering. So there are times that you have sufferings. Is this, your promises preserves my life. God's promises are able to preserve our lives. God's promises are able to preserve our peace. God's promises are able to preserve our minds. God's promises are able to preserve our finances. God's promises are able to preserve our careers. God's promises are able to preserve our businesses. God's promises are able to preserve our loved ones. And verse 92 also says, the psalmist saying, if your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. So does that give you any instruction? Let the law of the Lord be your delight. In this moment of wilderness, in this moment of trouble sea, let the law of the Lord be your delight. Verse 93 says, I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have preserved my life. Tell your neighbor, you can be preserved by the word. And you will be preserved by the word. Hallelujah. So, the fact that we have established God's parts in the peace equation, which is the giving and the keeping. God is able to give you peace and is also able to keep it. Through what? The Spirit and his word. Now, let us look at your own parts. You and me own parts as men. Which is what? The staying. Remember our text that we read? Thou shalt keep in perfect peace him. Thank you very much. You're a very good student. Him whose mind is stayed on you. Pardon the children teacher in me. Amen. So ours is the staying. And just quickly, when I started, I was saying that one of the ways that we are able to maintain our peace is knowing our purpose. Purpose is something that is able to help you maintain your peace. Looking at the life of Jesus Christ on that sea in Mark chapter 4, after he had arose and rebuked the storm, he was headed somewhere, wasn't he? He was headed somewhere. Verse 39 says, then he arose. That's after they had looked for him. Why is this man sleeping? Doesn't he know that storm has raged? Like, how is somebody? But you too, look at it. What kept him sleeping in that storm? Peace. And why do you think he had peace? Why do you think he had peace? Because naturally, they can. You will not be in it. Even the waves, the way it will not be steady. So how will you be able to sleep? The wave will be flinging you like this, flinging, because the boat is not steady. So how is somebody able to sleep? Because he knows that the assignment he's going for, nothing is stopping it. Nothing is stopping the assignment he's going for. So you can tell, you just tell the devil, you can try all you can. The assignment I am going for, not I will go deliver the assignment. And after he arose, they woke him. He rose. And the Bible said, and said to the sea. What did he do? He said to the sea, peace be still. Can you say to your own sea, peace be still? You know that sea. You know that stormy sea situation right now. Can you say it? And just in case you have not gotten there yet, can you say it ahead? Peace be still. Peace be still. Bible says, and the wind ceased. Hallelujah. And there was a great calm. Tell your neighbor, there was a great calm. And he turned and looked to them and said, why are you so fearful? Me, if I was in that situation, I would say, why won't we be fearful? Because that's the truth. How will you see storms like this? Especially for some people that cannot swim, even if you can swim. From where to where do you want to swim? But he had a confidence that is not of this world. And that is the same kind of confidence God wants us to have. And immediately, the Bible takes us to Mark chapter 5, where he speaks about, verse 1 says, then they came to the other side of the sea. The other side of the sea. That's the side where he was supposed to fulfill some purposes now. To the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately they met him out of the tombs, these tombs again, a man who with an unclean spirit. We all know the possessed man, the man that would be bound with chains and fetters, but still he'll find his way out. And he could not live with normal human beings, so he was confined to the tombs. Somehow he made his way there. And he would hurt himself because he was possessed by legion. Not one, not two, a legion. So why should we stay? For the sake of the destinies attached to the you that makes it to the other side. So it is beyond you now. Thank you. It is beyond you. It is beyond the fact that God, this thing can take my life. It is beyond you. It is for the sake of the destinies. There are some people that need to hear that testimonies. There are some people you need to hold hands together with and trust God and say, God did this for me in the past. He would also do it for you and even much more. There are some people that need to hear your testimony and in their secret say, God, if you can do it for this person, I know you will do it for me. So for the sake of the you that would make it to the other side, that is why you need to stay. And in that same Mark chapter 5, that's that Mark chapter 5 where God, Jesus Christ made it to the other side. The unchainable, untenable legion demons-possessed man became a publisher. The Bible says that he published the gospel in the Acropolis. So imagine that Jesus Christ did not make it to the other side. God forbid it. So you to imagine, use the eyes of your imagination to think about it now, that you too, you did not make it to the other side. Say, God forbid it. Because there are destinies attached to you and you cannot afford to fail. There are people that are waiting to be set free of legions attached to you and you cannot afford to fail. There are the women that have been plagued with the issue of blood for 12 years, spending all that they had, yet no solution. But just because they need to have a contact with you. The woman with the issue of blood. Just because they need to have a contact with you. So you must tell your neighbor, you must make it to the other side. There is the Jairus' daughter that needs to be raised back. And you know, it's not only about the case of Jairus' daughter, it's about the case of Jairus too. Because how will a ruler of synagogue lose his small child? It's a reproach. There are certain things that should not be heard. So if you are telling us that somebody that serves God and trusts God this much, this kind of affliction is able to beset him. So which mouth will he use in the synagogue to tell God, tell the people, trust God and love God? So this is why you must make it to the other side. Tell your neighbor, you must make it to the other side. And how do we stay? Very quickly. Have a passing through mentality. Know that that storm, that wilderness, that stormy sea, you are only what? I didn't hear you, church. You are only what? Isaiah 43 verse 2, it says, when you pass through the waters. Thank you. So let your mindset not be, these waters will consume me. No. Let your mindset not be, I am too frail or too weak for this water. Let your mindset not be, what will be. Mm-mm. What will not be. You have to stand up with every fierceness in you. And say what? Peace be still. Shut up. Even as you know that you are passing through, you stand up and speak just like Jesus Christ. He stood up and he said, peace be still. And after he said it, he asked them, where is your faith? So, passing through mentality, speaking the word, and making sure your faith is intact. Those are the keys of staying. What did I just say the keys of staying are? Passing through mentality, speaking the word, and faith in God. And because our time is gone, we are going to stand up fiercely now with every fierceness in us. And we are going to be praying, speaking to every storm, speaking to every stormy situation, speaking to everything that thinks it can trouble our peace. Is it in our health? Is it in our finances? Or is it in our career and businesses? Is it through the lives of our children? Or is it because of the fact that we are trusting God for the fruit of the womb? There are scriptures that have been put there for you to lead you, to help your imagination, to help your speaking. Oh, are you passing through health challenges? Bible says, but I will restore you to health and heal your wound. Jeremiah 30 verse 17, it says, I will restore you. So speak to that health situation right now and say, God, I speak a restoration. I speak a restoration in the name of Jesus. Bible says that, for I am your Lord, your healer. He said that you would serve the Lord your God and you would take sicknesses away from amidst you. So there is no sickness permitted to be amidst of you, not in your body, not in your family, not in the proximity of you, anyone connected to you. Shut up. Oh, we see your finances. Bible says that then Then thou shalt lay up gold as dust. Then thou shalt lay up gold as dust. Is your finances at that state of laying up gold as dust? Is your finances there yet? Tell God that I am supposed to be laying up gold as dust. That is what your Bible, the word says. It says that it is God that giveth power to make wealth, not to make enough. Not to make enough to make ends meet, to make wealth. And I'm very much sure that you understand what wealth means. Wealth means that you are able to have everything that pertains unto life and godliness. You are able to have everything. When they say that we are needing so amount for praise gates, you are not going to be calculating how many shifts do I need to work. You are not supposed to be calculating. Or when somebody calls you, my child is about to be out of school for lack of school fees, you say, don't worry, I'm settling it till the end. Those are the people God is raising in this house. People that are laying up gold as the dust of the earth. Oh, is it your career or your business? The Bible has said that the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Palm tree doesn't know season. Palm tree doesn't know dry season. Palm tree doesn't know that it is winter or it is spring. Palm tree is flourishing every time. As a matter of fact, palm tree is able to give out water. The palm wine that you know is water that comes out from palm tree in and out of season. And that is what the Bible has called you. You are the righteous that flourish like a palm tree, and you grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Cedar of Lebanon is a very relevant, it's one of the most relevant trees economically. Oh, we see your children. Bible says that an eye and the children whom the Lord has given to me, they are for signs and wonders. So your child might look frail. Your child might look like they are not it. But I tell you, keep speaking the word of God upon them. They are for signs and wonders. Your child might look like he is deviating from the ways of God that you have taught him. But trust God that God is making a great apostle from that child. Lay your hands on that child and say, I and the children whom the Lord has given to me, they are for signs and wonders. In the name of Jesus, you are not permitted to be small. You are not permitted to be weak. You are the city set upon the hill that cannot be hidden. You are relevant, relevant, in and out of season, relevant. Is yours? Is your stomach seed the fact that you are trusting God for the fruits of the womb? Is that your stomach seed? Bible says, no one shall miscarry or be barren. Hey, no one shall miscarry or be barren. Lay your hands on your womb and say that I will not miscarry. I will not be barren. I will carry my children to full time, and they will be the seed of the Lord in my hands. In the name of Jesus. Oh, are you trusting God for property settlements in this land? Bible says that they will build houses and dwell in them. So tell God, God, your word has promised me that I will build houses and dwell in them. So tell God, in this land, you bless me with my heritage of houses, and I will dwell in it. It's not a house that will trouble me. It's not a house that will give me sleepless nights. A house that I will dwell in. A house that I will build and have peace in the name of Jesus. Oh, or is he about immigration settlements in this land? He says, wheresoever the sole of your feet shall step upon is given to you for possession. So step it with every confidence and say, God, I possess the United Kingdom. I possess the United Kingdom. I am building here and I'm being established in this land. You did not bring me here by error. You did not bring me here by mistake. You did not bring me here just because you want to abandon me halfway. God is not a God of unfinished projects. Is it in your education or exams? Or is it marital settlement? But there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty is able to give him understanding. So if you are trusting God for academic success, if you are trusting God for success in your education, Holy Spirit, and Spirit lead us where our trust is without borders. Let us work upon the waters. Posture of total surrender to the Spirit of God, to the Spirit of God that is able to raise a standard, to the Spirit of God that is able to quicken, to the Spirit of God that is able to lead
and take us deeper than our feet can ever wander, and our faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior.
Spirit of the living God, we trust. We trust your leading. We trust that you are also able to raise a standard. And just in case we are needing quickening, we trust that you are able to quicken us in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask that today, let every stormy sea situations, let it be changed to the situation where we'll make it to the other side and affect the lives that you want us to affect positively for the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. Lord, we speak to every stormy sea situation this week. Peace be still.
Amen.
Peace be still.
Amen.
Lord, we trust that as quick as this week, come next Sunday, we'll come with our testimonies bountifully into your house saying, see what the Lord has done. Just because we trust him, just because we went in search for the word that affects our situation, and he gave us a word, and as he gave us a word, he also showed himself strong through the word and by the Spirit. For in Jesus' name I've prayed.